Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I am one of those who have to make the most of the time. Last weekend I was in southern Germany. Next weekend, God willing, I will be in Austria. And now, this weekend, I'm here. And in 2 weeks, I will be in Switzerland. Especially when the weekend comes, you always think about the meetings, about the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And there is nothing better on earth for a believer than to come under the sound of the word of God. Even what was said, whether it's the reading of the word, whether it is the reference to what is in the sermon, it is so powerful, so meaningful, so accurate, so true. And when you hear it, the desire immediately arises, Lord, let it be so. Let it happen to us as you had in mind when you gave the promises and spoke of them. I had fully expected to attend a funeral in Düsseldorf yesterday, but it didn't work out. She's being buried on Monday at 9 o'clock, and we hope that Brother Rus can be there, and those of you who are able to attend. Every time people go home, even if they are strong believers, it's sad on the one hand, but on the other hand we know they don't want to come back. There is no believer who ever wants to come back. Blessed is the one who has completed the course, kept the faith, and was allowed to go to the Lord. After all, we have the promise that applies to everyone. Those who call on the name of the Lord, even if it were in the hour of going home, the Lord says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And these are not empty words. These are divine facts. Everyone can count on them. Well, a lot could be said about what we have read, but I think it affects us all equally, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but that God could make us doers of the word. When the sentence was read out, for this purpose the Holy Spirit is given, that God might continue to work through the church as in Christ. In roughly these words, then this is what we have often expressed. The Church of the Lord is not a dead monument. It is not something to be looked at, but a living organism, the body of the Lord, the spiritual building, the temple of God, which was not made with hands, but was called into being by God, so that the testimony of God, the word of God, the promises of God, that everything God has said and planned can be carried out on earth. That is why the church is here on earth. And our Lord has said it clearly, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said to his own, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. We must all equally take to heart that the promises of God are yes and amen. And we must reckon with the fact that God wants to fulfill them, indeed must fulfill them, for the sake of his truthfulness. People make promises and have to change their mind, their program, because they had no overview. God has a complete overview. He does not need to take anything back. Every word is the absolute truth, and we can rely on it. Here, in these words, in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, we read, I have yet many things to say unto you. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. What was it? The Spirit of God rested on all the prophets. Everything had been made known to them in advance. The word they spoke was inspired by the Spirit, and they were able to predict the entire plan of salvation. Then, when the time came and the fulfillment began, the Spirit of God returned. And I would like to draw your attention to the fact that John, the preparer of the way, the man who had to build the bridge between the Old and New Testament, of him it is written, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Not only was the Spirit of God upon the Old Testament prophets, but the Spirit of God was upon the prophet who had to build the bridge. And then we know our Lord was begotten by the Spirit. So it is written, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And then came the filling with the Holy Spirit. So, not only the letter, but the Spirit, who gives life to the letter, who gives life to the Word, who makes a divine reality out of the Word. The same Spirit who was over the prophet Isaiah and who spoke out through the mouth of this man of God that someone would come, appear in the wilderness and prepare the way. The same Spirit of God watched over the Word to fulfill it and come upon the one whom God used so that Bible prophecy would find its fulfillment. So it happened with our Lord, and the same thing happened with the entire New Testament church. Our Lord said, wait in Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. So, a church in which the Word and the Blood and the Spirit can work together. A church as a living organism of the living God here on this earth. We have said it often enough that there can be no dead members in the living body of the Lord. Just as the head carries the life of God within him, we must all, as members of his body, carry the life of God within us. And that is the deep desire of our soul, of our heart, that we not only bear the name, but that we bear it rightly, that one could see that God is with us. Here, we are told, the Spirit of Truth, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, said the Lord. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. From the very beginning, the Spirit of God was at work. What about Paul? Where did the great revelations come to him? Did he get them from somewhere? By revelation of the Spirit. As a man of God, with responsibility for the church before the Lord, he could glory of the things that God had revealed to him. What about John on the Isle of Patmos? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In every church age message, we hear again and again, and it is said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit announces expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Spirit was upon the prophets, he was upon the apostles, he is upon the church, he was upon Brother Branham, and the same Spirit must come upon us all, must guide us all into all truth. In the past few days, I have read the passage from 2 Corinthians 11 again and have had to think about it seriously. It says here in 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 4, for if he that cometh along preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. The thought that moved me when I read this word was this. With the same gospel, the same Spirit will also be at work that was in the church at the beginning. If a different gospel is preached, that is not the same as the original gospel, then a different spirit is at work. You can use the same formulations, decorate yourself with scriptures from top to bottom. It won't do any good. The same Spirit of God, who was with Peter, who was with Paul, who made known to them the revelation of Jesus Christ and the true gospel, must and will be with all those who have the same revelation of Jesus Christ and the same gospel. The same Spirit will always be connected with the same thing that has its origin in the Spirit. If a thing comes from God, then the Spirit of God will accompany it from beginning to end. I then had to follow up this thought, especially because I followed the Church Congress in Munich a little, what was presented there, without any reference to the Holy Scriptures. It is a great catastrophe. People are deceived from birth to death. We can't change it, but we can raise our voices. And we even have to raise it so that God can speak to people one more time. Paul explains and writes here, "For if anyone comes along and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and you receive a different spirit from the one you received when we preached Jesus Christ crucified to you with truthfulness," and then the result, a completely different gospel, "then you put up with it all." How painful it must have been for this man of God to witness all this in his own time. On the one hand, he was able to say with prophetic foresight that this and that would come and be in the last days. And before he knew it, he had to say, "From among yourselves will come forth those who will bring teachings that will not agree with the one that was brought." What was it? Suddenly, it wasn't just foresight to the end. He looked around and wrote to the Galatians, "False brethren have crept in, intruded, to spy out our liberty in Christ." In Acts 20, perhaps 29 and 30, he expressed the warnings, and in many other places. Let me emphasize one thing from the bottom of my heart. The true seed of God will hear the true word of God, will have it revealed by the Holy Spirit. He will remain steadfast in the word and thus in God firmly grounded in the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the teachings can come from all sides and not only blow like winds, but roar like storms. A person who has built his house in faith on the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ will, according to what our Lord Himself said, remain standing, even in the time when the storms rage and the winds blow and the waters sweep everything away. He will stand firm because he is firmly founded on the unshakable rock against which everything will bounce off. May the Lord bless all these precious words and thoughts on us, and may they increase our desire to become a church in which God can glorify Himself, a church in which His word is not only placed upon the lampstand, but where He Himself, as it is written, can walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And if the Lord walks in our midst, He will not leave Himself unconfessed. He will give everyone what they need. And then we can say, as He Himself also said, I do not do the works, but the Father who dwells in me, He does His works. God continues His work. The Church of the Living God, not a dead monument, but a living organism, born again through the Word and the Spirit of God, placed on this earth to be something to the praise of His glorious grace. Anyone can praise His grace in words, but it must be revealed in deeds. In words, anyone can say and preach, "The Lord saves." It must be revealed indeed. Anyone can say in words, "The Lord heals." But this must be revealed in deeds, because He is the same. He cannot change. And we must have the courage and faith to take Him at His word. We are not taking any risks. We have made no promise. We have no task to fulfill the promise. He who made the promise watches over His word in order to fulfill it. Our task is to believe from the heart. I read briefly earlier, I think Ephesians 1. No, 1 Corinthians 1. Here the apostle writes, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. The Church of God. Do we understand what this says? Not a denomination, but Church of God, body of the Lord. send our greeting to the Church of God in Corinth. Today, he could write it here and to all the churches, wherever there are churches of God. The question is, are we the Church of God in the eyes of God? Jesus, our Lord, says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are the tasks and characteristics, the distinguishing marks of the Church of God? We all know that in a rough outline, there are two large denominations. Both bear this name as the Church of God. One that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the other that does not. Otherwise, the difference is not too great. But even the attribution of a name, a biblical name, or a designation that is used in the Holy Scriptures is of no use to us, unless God Himself bears witness to the fact that we are what He expects us to be, or that He was able to make that out of us. Send our greetings to the Church of God. Dear heart, dear brothers and sisters, let us let it penetrate our marrow and bone. The Church of God, the Church of the Lord, the Church of the Firstborn, who are written in heaven, who are destined to behold the glory of God. It goes on here. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We may count ourselves among those who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. We do not consider ourselves people who have already reached the goal, or count ourselves among those who already have everything, but we can say one thing. God has put a desire in us to be what He wants us to be, and to be at His disposal until the end, and hold on to the fact that the Lord will have a church without spot or wrinkle on the day of His return. A bride church that is washed in His word or in His blood, both are written in the Holy Scriptures. A church that can meet Him without spot or wrinkle. In faith, we can count ourselves among them, for we too call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, as with us, so also with you. He was not only looking locally at the church, he was at that moment, but also at all the churches that God had called into being, made up of people whom he had pardoned, whom he had forgiven, and who had experienced his salvation. May the faithful God make such people out of us. They are told in verse 3, grace be unto you and peace, both will be with us. If we have received grace, we have the peace of God in our hearts. For thus it is written, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have found peace with God. And when this peace with God permeates our soul, the heart rejoices and exults. The Spirit of God searches all things. He takes the written word and the things that were to come and reveals them at the time when God wanted to make them known. And we are also thankful that this has happened in our day. That which was future for almost 2,000 years has become present. And God has revealed his counsel to us by grace. May the same Spirit of God that was upon all the prophets and apostles be upon us and fully reveal to us the same original gospel, which is the power of God. And may he also reveal Jesus Christ to us in the same way as he was revealed to his own at that time, so that the Spirit and the Gospel and Jesus Christ may be the same. I hope you understand what is meant. If the gospel is preached differently than in the beginning, if a different Christ is preached, and millions are doing this today, they don't know it, but they are doing it. And these are people who have a different spirit. The same Spirit will preach the same thing and bring forth and proclaim the same revelation of Jesus Christ today, as in the beginning. With God, there is no change. Praise and glory be to his name. I believe with all my heart, and with this I would like to close, I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God has revealed Jesus Christ to us in the same way as he did to our brothers at the beginning, and that the same Spirit of God has revealed the same gospel to us, the everlasting gospel, in the same way. Now, at the end, as it was in the beginning. And that is the clear and distinct sign and characteristic that it is the Holy Spirit. Every other spirit will say all sorts of things about Christ and so forth, but the Spirit of God leads into the revelation of Jesus Christ. He leads into the same gospel. And if we undertake this examination with all seriousness, we must humbly confess that God has given us grace. Blessed be His name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You from the bottom of my heart for the absolute conformity of Your Spirit and Your Word and the Church. Lord, I pray that we may so agree with Your Word, that Your Spirit may lead us into all truth and confirm every word as true, so that You may be glorified. Worship and honor to Your name. Amen.